Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. Forget to turn this mic on sometimes. I just now thought of it and got it. So Matthew chapter 16. We're going to start reading at verse number 13. You'll stand, please, while I read the Word of God. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And we'll stop reading there and bow our heads, have prayer. I'll try to bring you the message God's laid on our heart. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight for the privilege to be in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for the singing of the songs. Thank you for the choir, the young folk, and the congregational singing. And bless our hearts, and I thank you for it. I praise your name, God, for every young person, every child that sing. And I pray, God, you bless them. And I pray, help them at growing grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. If they any not saved, I pray the Holy Ghost speak to them and draw them unto Jesus that they might be saved. I pray tonight now for this service, Lord. Thank you for those who've come. I pray you bless. You know the needs of every individual. You know where we are. You know exactly what we need. And I pray in Jesus' name the Holy Spirit would work in every heart, every mind, every individual's life. And have your way, magnify yourself. May we be doers of the word and not hearers only. Then I pray, God, for the touch of God to preach. I realize tonight that I can do nothing by myself, and so I stand here as a needy creature. I pray in Jesus' name you'd help me. And Lord, help me to think and help me be able to say what I need to say. And I pray the Holy Spirit take it and use it. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you for the church, and I pray, God, tonight you'd help us preach like you want us to. And I pray, God, we give you glory and praise and honor for all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Some time ago, and I don't know how long ago, I read this portion of Scripture, part of it anyway, and brought a message on praise God for the church. But tonight I'm looking at a different angle, going at a different way. And I want to talk about the importance of the local church, the importance of the local church. I've been thinking about some things and dealing in my own heart and mind about the church. And certainly, I want to say tonight that I am a firm believer in what God does. He does it through the local church. Amen. God doesn't do it through some kind of organization somewhere. He does it through the church, and I'm glad for the church. I want to bring that message, try to give you some things about it in just a minute, but way of introduction, let me say this. When we say church, the word church means a called out assembly, and you find it used in the Bible mostly it's used as we know the local church right here. Sometimes it talked about an assembly of a town, clerk called an assembly. And sometimes it's used in a different sense than that as an institution. But when I say institution, now I want you to get me well here. I hesitate how to say this. I want to say it the right way. The church is manifested as a local church. Now, this local church right here is not all the church there is in the world. It's not all the church is going to be presented yonder someday at the when Jesus presents the church. And we may say something about that at the end of the message. But I read something one time, it stuck in my mind, and I thought about it, about the church, the local church institution. The Sixth Amendment to the Constitution guarantees that a criminal is to have a trial by jury. Biased jury is supposed to try them. That's an institution. It's set up by that amendment. It has guidelines for it. But when you go in the local courthouse and you see a jury, there's a local jury. And that is at work, that was set up, is at work there in that place. That's the way the church is. Jesus said, I'll build my church. And he does that. And the church is made up of local churches. And every local church that is a local church, now I say every local church that is a local church, and there are a lot of things that's called churches today that is not a church. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. And that'll do. I want to deal. I hope you understood what I just said, because I don't want you to misunderstand me. Because a local church is all that we see. And that's we to be a part of and worship in. And we were challenged by Brother Tim's preaching while I was trying to recover a little bit. About being committed, and we certainly need that commitment, and we need to take things seriously, and we need to have our hearts right. And I want us to understand the church. Did you know, and I want to talk about the founding of the church first of all. Did you know there's not but one thing Jesus said he'd build, and that is the church. After that, he got out of the carpenter's shop. I don't know what he made in the carpenter's shop, but whatever it was, it was made of wood and so forth. And but as a grown man, he didn't say build but one thing. He said he built his church. And that's, I like that, amen. I think the church is important. If Jesus Christ himself said, I will build my church, then I believe it's important that we know about the church. And it is important. And then tonight, I pray that God will help us to preach and that we'll understand more about the founding of the church. And we find it here in this word of God given to us. And the church someday is a bride of Christ, sometimes called the bride. And I believe it's conceived in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, God all through history has known about the church, because nothing takes God by surprise. God knows everything from beginning to end. He knew the bride of Christ. He knew the church would be here. And it wasn't an afterthought with God. God had it all planned out. God knew that. And his church is here. And tonight, as we gather in this local church, we are here as God divinely, sovereignly designed it, that the church would be here. And so it is. And I say praise God for the church. I thank God for the church. Some folk talk about they don't need the church, that they can worship at home or on the lake or somewhere else. Now, you may see the creation of God out there in nature, but you're not going to worship God that way. Amen. Now, I didn't say you couldn't worship God out there. I said you're not going to worship God by looking at a mountain or at the sea or at a something like that, some canyon somewhere. It's beautiful creation. God made it all. But that's not what we worship. We worship a true and a living God. And God made the church. He built the church. He's building his church. Now, as an individual life, God saved me and made me a part of the church. And put me. He baptized me into the body by the Holy Spirit of God and sealed me there. And so I'm a part of it. Amen. And so, but as a local church, we assemble together in a voluntary manner and become members of it and so forth. But I said a while ago, and I want to back up and hit this a lick or two more. And you say, preacher, y'all are scattered tonight. Well, just hang with me. We are going somewhere in this message, as one of the preachers said, and we will get there after a while. But I'm telling you, and everything says the church is not a church. Jesus said, I will build my church. If it's not Christ built, it's not a church. Amen. Amen. If Jesus is not the center attraction of it, it's not a church. If it's built on some man's idea of what a church ought to be, it's not a church. this book right here, I talked about that Sixth Amendment a while ago and the guidelines laid down by the federal law about juries and how they operate and so forth. We have a guide right here that's laid down how the local church operates. And we are to operate the way God said that it is to operate as a local church. And that's all that we can see. That's all part we can be a part of as far as physically is concerned, is this church, the locally, that we are a part of. And again, I'm not saying tonight as local church is the only church there is. I'm not saying that. There's other churches that preach the gospel believe that. But those that do not believe what the Bible teaches about the church is not a church. If you do not believe in being born again, you can't be a church. Amen. If you believe the baptism of a baby gets you in and go to heaven, that's not a church. That's a cult. Amen. And if you believe that just doing good gets you to heaven and not being born and the blood of Jesus doesn't have anything, then if you believe that and your church, that so-called church, is founded on that and built on that, that's not a church. Amen. To be a church, you must believe that you must be born again to be a church. Amen. And then baptism, there's only two ordinances that are given to the church. That is baptism and the Lord's Supper. And baptism, we confess that Jesus Christ is in us. And Lord's Supper, we confess that we're in Him. And I say, praise God, or reverse that either way you want to do it. But it's still true. And He's in us and we're in Him. And it's all centered in Christ Jesus. And baptism is not for unbelievers. Now, we take babies and we dedicate them, we pray over them, ask God to help the parents to raise them for God, but that has nothing in the world to do with their salvation as such. We pray they'll be saved when they reach age of accountability. We ask God to do that. We ask parents to help them to raise them right, but that don't make, and when we pray over them, that don't make them a part of the church. And if we sprinkle water on them, don't make them a part of the church. If we poured water on them, doesn't make it a part of the church. If we take them in the baptism and dipped them under, it doesn't make them part of the church unless they're born again first. Amen. And babies can't be born again because they hadn't reached that, and there's no way they can be. And so a church is that believes in being born again, baptism for believers, and if they don't believe that, they're not a church. You say, preacher, that's strong language. It may be, but it's true. Amen. A church, when you say you're a church, that means something. Amen. It's not just a group of people decided to get together and have some kind of a social gathering. But it is a church. If it believes the right doctrine, this Bible, and that it gathers together in His name for His glory and preach this book, believe this book, and talk about this book, and preach the blood of Jesus, and believe in being born again, baptism by immersion, and Lord's Supper as a commemoration of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sin, and we believe that, amen, and operate in that realm, we've got some good foundation for being a church. And God said He'd build His church. Now, I said, let's talk about the founding of it. Look in verse number 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I know, first of all, the founder is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I will build my. I am my. Personal pronouns. It's His. We sometimes refer to our church, and I know what we mean by that. Church where I pastor, I talk about being my church. But it's really His church. And He is the one that is in charge of it. He has authority over it. And all authority ought to come from Him. Amen. I, as a shepherd, under shepherd, God put me here as an under shepherd to lead and guide and direct. But He's authority. This Bible is a book that we follow. It's our guideline. Amen. I praise God for the reality of that. And He said, my church, look in verse number 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the founder of the church. He's the one that said, I'll build my church. He's the one that started the church. It's His church.
And man, people talk about this church started a certain time. Somebody came up with this idea how we'll have this church, and they started this church and that church. I want to trace our roots all the way back to the early church, and I believe we can. Amen. As the early church believed, well, I believe the same thing today. I believe 40-some years ago when I got saved and changed my mind about Jesus and changed my mind about how to worship and changed my mind about this Bible and changed, I believe the same thing. In fact, it's my forefathers believed the same thing I believe. They believed you had to get saved. They believed you'd be baptized by immersion. They believe you live for God. Amen. They believe that. They believe took the Lord's Supper as a commemoration of his death, not for salvation. It has no merit for salvation in it. And anything it teaches it does is anti-Bible, not a church. I'm trying to get you to see today, tonight, that a church is what God says is a church. If it's not what God says, it's not a church. And Jesus is the founder of it. And the foundation of the church is not Peter. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. He wasn't talking about the Apostle Peter. He talking about what he confessed. And he confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's what the church is built on. Amen. And I thought about that and said, hallelujah. I'm glad it's him. Now there's a little play on words in that. Petra and Petros, and Peter's that little rock. Peter's that great big rock. And here Jesus is saying, the rock that I'm going to build my church on is a rock that you made a confession and said you didn't even confess that by yourself. If the God hadn't helped you, now look at it. In verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I talked about this morning, the God that reveals. If God had not revealed that to Peter, Peter would not have known who Jesus was. God has to intervene in man's life to make it real to him who Jesus is. And unless that Holy Ghost of God does a work in the heart to bring that conviction and show you yourself and show you who Jesus is, you'll never be saved. And so it is God's work that does that. Now, these folk that believe that you just sign a card and decide to join up, and that's not a church. You're welcome. Church has to be. Church is made by God, brought together by God. And I'll say a little bit about that in just a minute. But the founder's Jesus. Foundation is Jesus. He's a founder and the foundation. He's what it's built upon. But thank God we're fortified. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I say hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad somebody said, preacher, the church is going down. Not so. Church is going to go up. It's not going down. And by the way, I realize the fact today, and we have a couple here tonight that called me a few moments ago, a little while ago, right before church time, and wanted to know if we had traditional services. And I was glad they called. Amen. I said, yes, sir. Amen. Aren't you glad? And we're not going the contemporary route. And by the way, I want to make this clear tonight. We're not going to go the contemporary route. We're sticking by the book. We're sticking by the stuff and hanging in here like we are. Amen. I realize today that the crowds will follow that kind of thing, and they want to be entertained. There'll be multitudes of followers, and you can fill buildings up, and you can have this and have a hooray time. But I'm talking about a real church. I'm talking about one that's what God says it ought to be. And I don't know what the number may be. Maybe some brother asked me my goal, and that was a good question. I hadn't had time to really think a whole lot about that. But said my goal for the church 10 years from now. And what my plan, what I expect of it. I said right now, some days I'm thinking about the church and I pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. What's going to happen 10 years, I don't know. I'd love to see the church grow, and I'd love to see it bring many folk to Christ and see many folk come to know Jesus. But I believe that Jesus Christ will take care of his own church. Amen. It's his church, and I believe he'll protect it. Amen. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It may be attacked, and we have been attacked. It will be attacked. But I'm glad, praise God, the church of the living God is fortified. By who? By the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You remember Job? The devil couldn't do a thing to him until he got permission from God before he could touch him. I believe the devil has to get permission before he touches anything in Gateway too. And God may let us go through some things. He does from time to time. We get plumb sorry if he didn't. But he lets that happen. And we wrestle through and we pray and cry and weep and keep on preaching, keep on trying and trying to do what we think God would have us to do by the word of God. I believe as long as we'll follow God, God will protect his church.
Amen.
Amen. And there will be a church here preaching the word of God till Jesus comes back and raptures the church out. Now, persecution may come. It may get harder and harder. And I don't know, some folk more may fall out by the wayside. And people may say, I don't want to go that route and all that. But there will be a church preaching the word of God until Jesus Christ comes back. There'll be some. Amen. There'll be some. I'm glad to be a part of the church. Amen. I'm looking for God. Brother, I'm looking for God to do something for us. I'm looking for God to do something special. I'm looking for God to breathe through and the power of God to come. Hey, he has in the past and he can do it again. Amen. And roses will bloom again. And fact is, I've been having a good time here lately anyway. And trying to preach, trying to enjoy the things of God. And realizing the fact that God's good. He's good all the time. It makes no matter what else is happening. I just want to preach Jesus Christ, see people get saved, and see people grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and go for God.
Amen.
And that'll be great. Amen. The formation of the church. Look with me, please, in the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'll just give this to you real quickly tonight. In 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want you to look first of all, as we talk about the formation of the church, I want you to look at verse number 1. God calls men, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, we know as Timothy, and the church of the Thessalonians. Now, God calls men to preach. And I come out of the old school. I don't believe that a man just decides that he's going to be a preacher. Some folk look at it and say, well, it looks like a pretty good thing. You get up and talk a little while on Sunday morning. Had a fellow down in Anthony's friend down in Irwin, Tennessee, when he's a little boy. He looked at the offering board one day and said, boy, your daddy sure did good today. Talking about the offering. I don't get off the offering. Amen, but he didn't know the difference. He thought, and some people look at it that way, though, and they think that's what it's about. And I've said often, if money's why I was preaching, I'd resign tonight and go get me a job. If it's digging a ditch or doing something, amen. I'm telling you, I didn't get in this because I just chose this. I don't even like to call it a profession. I didn't choose this job God put me in. God put me here. God, hey, Brother Nathan, God laid his hand on me and God said, I want you to preach. Amen. It wasn't my choice. It wasn't my choosing. In fact, I even tried to help God choose somebody else out of the same church I was in at that time. I mean, that young man, he was leading singing. He had a college education. He was intelligent. He had a mannerism about him that was great. And I said, God, why don't you call him? I tried to help God out. I thought, well, I'd help God find him one. He'd leave me alone. And come to find it out, God called him and me both. I didn't help me a bit. I couldn't get away from it everywhere I went. God said, you all preach, you all preach. I won't go into all that. But I'm telling you, God has to lay the hand on and call men to preach. Amen. And to have a church, you have to have a man. As an under-shepherd, it's a God-called man. Amen. If you're not a God-called man, he can't lead you anyhow. And you can't be a local church like you ought to be unless God's man's there. And so that's not saying anything good about me. I'm just an old sinner country boy. God picked up out in the hills of Virginia and saved him one day, filled him up, and sin called me by his grace and sent me out. Had no idea what I was going to do, how I was going to wind up here. And if I'd planned it out, I wouldn't have planned it out the way God did. But God planned me out and had me go through some schoolings here and there. And I'm not talking about schoolhouses. I went to some of those, but that wasn't where I really got my real schooling. I got the real schooling out there and doing it here and there and trying to do what God wanted me to do. And God let me go through some things, but God helped me and finally got me to Gateway.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad I'm here. And the rest of you, if you're not glad, pray for me. I'll preach myself to death. Amen. But I started to say, pray for me, somebody come and get me. I've been asked to go somewhere else before, but nobody probably want me this age anyhow, so y'all stuck. Only way to get rid of me now is pray God preach me to death. That's a pretty way to go, isn't it? Being preached to death. Amen. Where was I? I was talking about God called me and wasn't. Amen. Lost where I was. Hey, let me show you something else. In verse number 5, he confirms his message. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. He said in the preaching, be seasoned with the Holy Ghost of God, and God would make it known that that's his. Amen. I believe that is true. I realize these times. I preached here a while back. I said preaching is kind of like that ball player getting up. Sometimes he gets up there and he strikes out. And he doesn't do much at all. Sometimes he bunts and maybe gets on first base. And sometimes he slaps a slam home run. But every home run hitter that's ever been in baseball, they struck out more times than ever hit a home run. Amen. In preaching, now I'm not saying preaching is like baseball. I'm saying that's a good analogy, maybe up to a point, but it doesn't go far enough with it. Because that baseball player, his physical strength, his way he feels that day, and my strength is nothing. And sitting over there, many of the time I felt like I'd be better off. I walk out the back door and go back to the house. But then by the time I got in the pulpit and God got around, and they came a breeze, they came a touch of God, I was glad I was in the pulpit. Amen. I'm glad I was preaching. These times I get tired and I think, my soul, why don't I just let this thing go? And then I miss a Sunday or two, or I missed a Sunday and a Wednesday night. I felt like I hadn't preached for a month. And something inside of me, down inside, saying, preach, boy, preach. And I got to think about church, and I want to preach on the church. And thinking about it, I'm telling you tonight, thank God. And God, the Holy Ghost moves in. God does something. These people sometimes get under conviction. I know nothing about, have no idea what's happening. But God does. And God takes the word of God, does what he wants to do with it, and brings people where he wants to bring them. I just say amen, hallelujah, and praise God, and let's go.
Amen.
Amen. Let me show you the third thing here. But God not only confirms his message, but God calls in the membership. Look at verse number 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now, when I say election of God, I'm not talking about that God elects this one to be saved and that one not to be saved. I'm not talking about that. The elect of God are the saved.
Amen.
Now, God does know everything from beginning to end. God does know that. God said, whosoever will, let him come. I'm a whosoever willer, but I'm also one of those that believe it takes the convicting power of God to bring him. And so you got to have the convicting power, then you got to have the whosoever will. And then, as Dr. H.A. Arnside said, it says whosoever will on the outside of the door. And when you get in, look back, it says the elect of God. Hey, man, that's the best way I know how to explain that. I was one of the whosoever wills, and I got in. I look back now, I'm the elect of God, and I say hallelujah. I'm glad I'm in. Amen. And praise God. You say, preacher, that don't make good sense. You talk to God about that. That's what God said. And God said we are elect of him, and so we are. In verse number 6, and became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and joy of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad, praise God, he stabilizes us. John 10 and 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, they shall never perish. I say, amen. He said, they will follow me. He didn't say they may hope to. I tried to get them to. He said, they will. I believe people really get saved, get born in the family of God. They'll have something down inside of them that calls them want to follow God. And do, amen. They may mess up, they may fall somewhere, but they'll never get out away from the fact there's something inside of them that makes them want to follow God. That something is the Holy Spirit of God that comes to abide and takes his place in when we get saved, puts us in the church, the church, and then thank God he makes us a part of that body. And so thank God for the local church that we're a part of. Now the function of the church, ain't got time to deal with all this. Let me go back a little bit about the formation of the church. The church meets in one place. Church meets for one purpose. Church meets to praise. One praise to him. And the church meets one accord to pray and talk to God. And the church meets, I like a man just coming up, amen. And I praise God for the fact that the church meets here. And this is the house, this is the building we meet in. And the church comes together and we meet together to worship God. A church doesn't meet together for the gossip. And the church doesn't meet together to find out world events. And the church doesn't meet together to find out how bad everything is outside. Church meets together to worship God and hear from heaven. Amen. And the church of the living God has a work to do. Now the function of the church upper is to praise him and pray unto him, give him glory and give him honor. And the church ought to praise the name of the Lord. Amen. I talked about this before, and it's good. It don't have to be jubilee. It don't have to be something special to raise your hand or to say amen or shout glory, hallelujah. It don't have to be something special going on around you. Amen. It's just being, hey, we come together to worship God. And hearts in tune with heaven and come in ready to worship, ready to hear from heaven and just come in to do that. I'm glad for the Sunday school. We come in to study the Word of God and come in and study that precious book. And the Bible says teaching, and we need that teaching. I'm glad for that. And then the preaching, we need the preaching. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And we need that word, so thank God and praise God for it. But not only do we come together for the upper part, praise and worship of God and praying unto him, but we, as we praise him in Hebrews 13:15 says this, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. I like that. We'll offer to him praise to God continually. And let me see if I find my place here. Read the rest of it. That is the first fruits of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so we need to do that. The outward is we are to be a light in a dark world. It's a dark world, but we are to be outside of this building. We're still a church. And we're to be a light to a lost world and light the way so they can see something they can come to and find some help. I remember Gideon going out there, getting ready to fight the Midianites. And as he took his 300 men and set them in their places, three groups of them, and they took a pitcher, earthen pitcher, and they put a torch out down inside the pitcher, and the light didn't shine. It was in there, but it wasn't shining. And the only way it could shine was when they give the command, blew the trumpets, and they break the pitcher. That earthen vessel got broken, and then light began to shine. I say the more we break and this old flesh and self, the more the light will shine. And they saw the light. The enemy saw the light. They ran over each other, killed each other. And the victory came to Israel because Gideon and his men broke the pitchers and let their light shine. I say amen. You and I need to break, as it were, ourselves and let the light shine outwardly. And outwardly that we might be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ in a dark world. A lot could be said about that. Then inwardly, as we come together like this, I've already touched on it, we preach, we teach, and we come together so that we might worship God, might exhort one another, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as manner some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see that day approaching. And we need to encourage one another. We need to come together, exhort one another, encourage, walk up to somebody and give them a word of encouragement and let them know you're praying for them. That's a help as they go through life. We need that. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to bring it to a close in a moment. I'm just getting started on what I really want to say. I'm coming back to the church later, Lord, let me. Because I believe in the church, the local church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Coming together here and preaching, here and teaching, reading the word of God, he's cleaning us up. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God's still a-working. Those children up here the other night, they sang right over here, and they said, he's still a-working on me. He is. He's still working on his church. He's working on his church, getting it ready. And he's going to present it one day, a glorious church, without a spot or wrinkle, no blemish. I'm glad I'm a part of the church. I'm glad to be a part of a local church. I'm glad to be a part of a local church that believes this book, wants the truth, wants to live for God, be a light in the lost world for God. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I want to ask you a question. The church, God's church. Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Tonight, if you're not saved, then you're not a part of the church. Your name may be even on the roll of a local church, but if you're not saved, you're not a part of the church. Tonight, God's speaking to your heart about this thing of being saved. I pray you let God do what he wants to do. Then if you are saved, the church, what does a church mean to you? God said, I'll build my church. He builds his church through his people. We are the church. He builds us up. He helps us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Then he uses us to help others and witness to them that they may come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, you think about your own personal life. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit of God, deal with our hearts, deal with our lives, help us as individuals and as a church. Father, thank you for the church. Thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege to be a part. And Lord, that you said you build your church. I thank you, Lord, that we can come together and worship God, hear from the Word of God, see what you're doing. I pray tonight, any person here that they're struggling something in their lives, they need to come to God. Anybody that needs to be saved, anybody that needs to pray for somebody else that's lost, needs to get in and get saved so they can be a part. Then have your way in this invitation. You magnify your own self and get glory. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.